Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, just what a blessing it is to be in church. I'd like for you to look with me in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Tonight's a little bit different because it's our election of officers night. And so we'll be getting into that in just a little bit here. But always want to bring a message. There's a reason we do everything we do around the church, and we need to understand why we have officers in the church, positions. We need to understand why we have church the way we have church, and I believe it's all biblical. I think that if you're looking for a biblical ministry, this is the most biblical ministry that I know of. I mean, there's, praise the Lord, there's several churches just like this around the globe that God has established that hold to this Bible here is the very words of God and want to establish a church according to the word of the Lord, who want to establish the order in the church according to the word of the Lord, want to establish the work of the church according to the Bible. And that's what it's all about. It's a biblical church, so it has to be based on the Bible. It has to be based on what God says. I don't know if you've picked up one of the Baptist Times. If you have, if you haven't, they're on the back tables as you go out here tonight. But January's issue of the Baptist Times, I write an article every issue because of being the moderator of the GIBF. And my article in the Baptist Times, this last issue in January, was Form Follows Function. Form follows function, and it was had to do with the church, and that's a phrase that has been used for many, many years. But it's the idea of it is you have to know why that you're building what you're building, and it was something that was done by an architect. The phrase come up by an architect who realized before you decide what kind of building to build, you got to understand what you're going to use it for. You know, what is the function of the building? And then you design the form or design the building to be able to take care of the function or to function properly. Well, and I use that as a lead into the church and how God has had this, and he had a design for the church because he had a function for the church. And so form follows function. Is God has a purpose and design for his church. And if you haven't read that article, I would encourage you to read that. We're going to be looking at some of the things that I've put in that article, understanding that God has a purpose for the church, and because of the purpose for the church, he designed it. There's no better design than a biblical design for a church. Now, a lot of people, a lot of so-called churches are getting away from that today because they're getting away from the Bible. And they're starting to look to please man. They're starting to listen to philosophies of men on how to build a church, how to build a congregation. You can't build a church, a true church, any better than the way God tells you to build it. Amen. Now, you might be able to get an assembly, and you might be able to gather people together. That's not a church. But so as we look to this tonight, I want you to be aware of what the Bible says about the local New Testament church. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll stand with me. We're going to read verse 12 down to verse 8. Now, we know the Bible has much to say about the church being the body of Christ. Being the body of Christ is called the body of Christ. It's the family of God. If it's a body of Christ, then the head of the body needs to be Christ. If he's not the head, or we're not doing things according to his design or his thoughts, then we're not his body. And so we have to, if we're going to be the true church, it's a body of Christ, we have to have the head of Christ. We have to be designed and function as God would have us to be designed and function. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made or brought together to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And verse 18 is a very important passage, a very important scripture there. It says, but now hath God set the members. Now he talked about the different ones having the different gifts, and God's going to use each one in a different way, possibly. But he says, God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And so let's pray. Father, as we bow before you now, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you've preserved for us. And Lord, the Bible is something that we can have and read. And your Bible is something that we want to have preached and taught when we come to church to learn more about it. And I pray tonight, God, as we've assembled here for this Wednesday midweek service, and I know that normally we'd be in studying the life of John the Baptist, and we'll look forward to that again next week. But tonight, with it being the election of officers, I know that you would have us to understand the purpose and the design for your church. And so I pray that you'd give each one that spiritual ear to be able to hear what you have for them today, and not only hear it, but be able to understand it and apply it to their life. I pray that you'd empower and bless the teaching and then the election to follow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every member has their place and work in Christ's church. Now, we know that overall there is one body, but as we study even the New Testament, God designed the New Testament, and he used Paul to send letters to each one of the churches in every city. And then he was to establish New Testament churches in every city. And so even though that they're individual churches, local independent churches in every city around the world, God would have a local independent Baptist church, I believe, established all around. So people could come to that if God would lead them to go to that. Every church should have the very same doctrine. It ought to follow the doctrines of the Bible. If it's a true church, it has the doctrines of Christ. If it's a true church, it's been designed, developed for the same purpose. And so, like I said, you can find true churches. Praise the Lord for that. In this church age, they're getting harder to find because a lot of them today are changing. And they're getting away from what God established the church to accomplish. And they're getting away from the design that God designed and how God designed the church. And so, but there are, praise the Lord, as long as we're in the church age, his church will be represented. He will be represented on this planet Earth through his church. And that's what I want this church to maintain the representation of Jesus Christ and this Bible up and through the rapture of the church. You know, as we're studying the book of Revelations, it's brought all this to mind and realizing that it could take place. The rapture is very close. Who knows, another 20 years possibly. I mean, but it could be any moment. We don't know that. We're not predicting, giving dates, not doing that, because the Bible says no man knows, but every Christian ought to be ready for it. Amen. But the idea here is let's hold to what God has designed and continue the purpose on why God designed it. Okay, and so as we look right here, he talks about Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's trying to help them to understand the body of Christ. And they were one of the local churches which make up the body of Christ, and they have this individual. We believe in the visible church. We're not looking around for an invisible church. We know that there's a local churches, but every local church has the same doctrine, has the same design, has the same purpose as every other true church. So when you go to a true biblical church, you ought to hear some of the same messages that you hear here. Same, you ought to read the same Bible. Ought to look and see that they have some of the same missionaries. You ought to be able to understand that it's Christ's church. And if everyone's looking to Christ, it's going to be established the way he established it. It's going to be designed the way he designed it. And it's going to fulfill the purpose on which he established for the church. Praise the Lord for that. And so we're looking here, and that's what Paul is writing to this local church at Corinth. And then all the churches were to get a copy of this and have it passed around so they all understand that this message was not just for the church at Corinth. It was directed to that church, but it was the word of God for all churches of this church age. And so he's talking to Lighthouse Baptist Church here when he's talking about this and talking about the church being made up of members. And every member has their place and work in that local body of Christ. The local body of Christ, God has planted each one of us in this place. Before we can have positions in the church, we are first members of his body. When you get saved, you become a member of his body. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. You're saved. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And then when you receive biblical baptism, water baptism, you're identifying with Christ in the church that he plants you in. Amen. That's why we have water baptism, for you to identify with Christ once you get saved. Find that local New Testament church where God says, I've established that church. For one of the reasons that God established a local New Testament church is for water baptism and then discipleship. Amen. So as we come to that church, the Holy Spirit, we get saved. The Holy Spirit of God works in our hearts and our lives. He leads us to that local New Testament church, a place where I can be baptized, identify with Christ, and then start being discipled. And as I'm being discipled, then start realizing that God has equipped me with spiritual gifts and talents. And God would have me to use them in that body that he had planted me in, that local New Testament church. And so before we have any positions, we are first members of his body. That's what it says in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them. I'm looking out here tonight. If you're a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, you have to believe that God directed you and planted you, everyone, every member here. That's why before I present anybody for church membership, I've already talked to them. I said, I'm going to ask you one question. And right before I present you to the church, I'm going to ask you that question. As long as you answer in the affirmative, then I'll present you to the church. That's why I talk to all that before I present them to the church. First of all, to make sure that they're proper candidates for membership. And then that they know this one thing. You prayed about it. And God has led you. And you know that this is where God wants to plant you in this local called out assembly. And I'll ask them, you prayed about it, do you know for sure this is where God would have you to be part of this local? And they'll answer in the affirmative, and I'll praise the Lord, and I'll pray with them, and then I'll present them to you as candidates for church membership. But if they don't know this is where God's planted them, I'm not going to present them to you until they can tell me that, yes, I believe this, God has worked in our lives, whether it's to bring us from another state, we've been out of church, whether God has worked in our lives, but whatever it might be, however God has done it, he has brought you to this place to be a part of this local called out assembly of God's people. And so every one of us needs to understand that. First of all, church members. And then understanding that God planted us here to serve him, to make up this body. And not all of you out there are eyes. Not all of you out there are ears. Not everyone here is here to be an arm. And not everyone here is to be a leg. And not everyone is here to be a foot. Amen. But there are every parts of the body here. And God says, I know how to design and formulate my church. I know what the church needs. And as I look back in the early years of this church, we had a need for so many things because we had a need for building. And as we had the need, God would send to us either through soul winning or send somebody from out of state here or whatever it might have been. He would send us plumbers and electricians and this and that. And every time it seemed like we had a void, and we pray, God, we need this. And before you know it, God would send somebody to meet that void. And as I look out here tonight, I could start testifying to how God, when you came to this church, and I thought, you know, they're going to fit right in. We have a void here, and this person's going to help out here, and this person here is going to work here, and this person here, I can see God working in their lives and meeting needs and building his church. Amen. And every one of you have a story, and that's one of the privileges, that's one of the blessings of a pastor. I know your story, and I know how God worked in your life, because if you join the church, I talked to you about it, and I asked you that question before you were voted on by the church family to become a part of this local New Testament church. What a hallelujah. Amen. What a hallelujah. And so we find here, this is where we get that from, because God has set the members, knowing how he's going to work in and through you in this church, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. He knows what we'll need in 10 years. He knows what we'll need next year. He might be preparing you for fill a void that will open up this year for next year. We have officers. They're going to be filling the voids that we have for this next year. They're going to be filling positions that we have need of. We have Sunday school teachers. They're going to fill needs that we have in teaching every class. We have musicians that are going to fill needs. Whatever it might be, God knows. God knows better than any one of us here. Way better than I as the pastor of this church. Amen. God knows. And so he is the one. Every member needs to know that God planted you here. Can I tell you that as a pastor, I have need to know this is where God has planted me to serve him as a pastor of this church. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt at all that God planted me here, and I believe that God has worked through me as the pastor since the conception of this church, since God established this church some 29 years ago. And for 29 years, that's been God's will for my life, is to pastor this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, if it's up to me, I'm ready to serve the Lord here and go on to glory from this place right here. I truly am. I don't know God's plan. I don't know God's plan. Every year, I have to know that, God, you have me there for another year. And you have me there for another year. And for 29 years, he's kept me right here. There has been opportunities. I won't get into all the different things. But I've never had a peace about leaving this place, because this is the place I know that God has planted me. And I believe that God has continued to give me that peace. And as long as I am able to pastor this church, as this church needs to be pastored, then I am looking forward to serving here and accomplishing God's will for this church. I never want to get into, and that's what I've been talking to the staff about. We're getting ready to have our staff and wives planning meeting for this next year. We never want to just get in a maintenance mode. When you just get into a maintenance mode, you are going backwards. You ought to always be looking forward to what else? What more can God do through me? For you have a purpose for life. Never lose sight of the purpose that God has for you. And so we find here that every member needs to know that God has planted you here, and he has planted you here for a function. Form, he's building his church. He planted you here as part of that form for a function. In order to function properly, can I just give you a couple thoughts on what every member needs to be aware of? For us to accomplish all that God would have us to accomplish as a church, what we have to battle this next year and for years to follow. In Ephesians in chapter 4, another letter to a local church, the church of Ephesus, which is also to be established for all the churches. But it reveals that there was local independent Baptist churches in every one of these cities that a letter was sent to, which God had ordained and God had spoken through to make it scripture. Ephesians in chapter 4, and preserved it for us today to make up the completion of the revelation of God. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." A vocation, it's not necessarily talking about your vocation in the world, even though God has a purpose and a plan for you there. He's going to use your worldly vocation in order to allow you to serve him. But the vocation he's talking about here is the work of the church. What area in the church you're going to be involved in. Your vocation, whether it's going to be called to the music ministry, or the children's ministry, or the junior church ministry, or bus ministry, or on and on and on. What with all lowliness and meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing one another. Now, he's talking about this because this is how we work together. How we work together. Because it's hard for an eye to be able to have the very same vision as a foot. Because the eye sees what the eye can see. And the foot understands how important it is to have a foot. And if you're not careful, the eye is going to say, no, I'm the most important here. Without me, we wouldn't be able to see where we're going. And the foot said, without me, we wouldn't ever get there. We wouldn't be able to get there. And that is, you know, how we have in our body. But the body does not react that way. The body says, no, we're all together. Because we've got the same mind. And the mind is the one that controls the eye working with the foot. Well, we need you, eye, so you can help us to see where the foot cannot see. But the foot is strong enough for the foundation of the body to walk on. Amen. That's how the illustration that the Bible gives us illustrates that very, very same thing. Amen. And now he says this in our vocation, whatever part of the body you are, he said, let us look to serve with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's be unified. We might have a different call and we might have a different emphasis on what we think we ought to be doing. And the eye's going to see it one way and the foot's going to see it this way. But yet we have not only the function, but we have the design to make sure that we're functioning properly. That's why we have officers. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But God has a chain of authority that he has given to us to work together with. Because if not, then everyone's going to try to do their thing. And if everyone tries to do their thing without coming under the authority of God, then we're going to be confused. There's going to be a lot of turmoil. But we need to be unified and understanding that we all have different gifts. We have different places that God wants us to serve. And yet let's be unified and serve together. Amen. That's what it's talking about here. And so one of the first things, in order to function properly, we have to be unified. Don't ever be the one to cause disunity in the church. That's not of God. Satan would love to destroy the church, and he'll destroy the church not from without, but from within. There has to be unity. If you're unable, and we'll see this in membership, one of the qualifications for memberships, if you're unable to harmonize with the church, quietly withdraw yourself. Do not. You don't want to stand before God and give an account for destructing or dividing his church. We need to be unified. Praise the Lord for that. The second thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We must be willing and ready to esteem those that God has placed in positions to lead. You have to first of all know that God's put them in position to lead. One of the things that every member has to pray about and consider when they come to this church, can they follow the leadership of this church? If you can't follow the leadership of the church, then God doesn't have you. It's not God's will for you to be in that church. Because if you're not able to follow the leadership of the church, then you will be you'll cause division in the church. So anytime there's a change of leadership, then every member of that church has to reevaluate their place in that church and their ability to be able to follow the leadership of that church. Makes sense. But he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. If you're not able to esteem the leadership of the church very highly, the Bible says, then they cannot perform the work that they're in leadership to do. And that'll be a hindrance. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. One of the ways to be at peace is to realize that we're going to esteem those in whom God has called and put in places of leadership. And now we're going to break that down here in just a minute. But we must esteem God's men that he has put in leadership. We need to show respect for the staff of this church, basically. Not just the pastor, the staff of this church. Every member needs to have respect. Every member, we ask you to pray for your staff. The men that God have called and put in positions in this church to oversee different ministries, and pray for them and support them. And when you have an ought against once, go to them. Don't go to four or five other people. Go to them directly. And if you cannot find, if you do not get it resolved, then you go to the next position of authority until you bring it before the church. That's what the Bible says. The third thing is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we'll not turn there because I think you know this verse very well, but we must assemble and give tithes and offerings. God's amazing design. It's God's design. There's no way that I could establish, get a group of people together and say, all right, you're going to tithe to this organization, you're going to give to this organization 10%, and then you're going to give offerings on top of that. No way that a man's going to be able to do that, but God established his church, and it is his church. And as you give tithes to his church, then you open yourself and you position yourself for God's blessings, because God knows how he wants to finance his church. And he has chosen to finance his church through his children, through the membership of the church. And as you become a member of the church, then God says, I want to use you to help finance the church. And so I'm going to bless you so that you might not only have enough for your family, but you're going to have enough to be able to supply for my church. And as long as we do it as God has designed it, God, you position yourself for God to work in your life. It's not my design, it's God's design. But that is part of the church. The news has just been working for some 2,000 years. Amen. A little bit different in every generation, you know, but it's been in the very early churches, they had to bring everything because they had to live together. I mean, it was not like it is in our society that we live in today. But the idea of the tithe is the same. The idea of the offering is the same. And it's God's design to supply the financial need of the church through his word or through his membership. So we find there every member in their place and work. The church must have God's order. And that's we're getting into the election of officers. And you say, it's about time, preacher. I know. Titus in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We find here that Paul sends Titus to establish the order and set an order in the churches that they have established. And we'll just read verse 5 for lack of time here. It says, For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders at every city as I have appointed thee. He says, go to every church that we've established and make sure that each one has a God-called pastor. And not only does each one have a God-called pastor, but each church has the right order that I have established in the church. God has an order for the church. For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. Okay, do you understand that? For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility. If there's not positions of responsibilities, everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, even in the local church. And there's no unity there. And they're not accomplishing what God has them there to accomplish. And so there has to be a positions of responsibility and a chain of authority for those in positions to look to. God himself is the ultimate authority. God, it's his church. He gave his word. His word became flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus, being the word, revealed the final revelation, the New Testament. There are no new revelations from God. It's all been revealed through this Bible right here. And so, it's God, His Word, and the church as a whole. Now, the church, in the church, He gives positions that He has established. The positions that God established in the church is, first of all, pastor. Second of all, deacons. And He gives the biblical qualifications for those two positions in the church, found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. The biblical qualification, if you do not meet those biblical qualifications, you cannot hold those two offices in the local New Testament church. If it's a biblical church, you have to meet those biblical qualifications. And then in Romans chapter 16, Paul reveals all other positions which were helpers in the church. You have two biblical positions, and then every other position that we have in the church falls underneath the heading of helpers. Helpers. Trustees or helpers in the church. Church clerk, helper in the church. All the other positions, two that have qualifications, are the pastor and the deacons.